Thank you very much, Stefan, my brother, and all you, my other brother and sisters. It's good to come down here. It's at least for the nice travel. It's not as going to London or maybe Ottawa. So if you have a copy of this list, let's go through that word game, and that will launch us into the sermon for this afternoon. So you have four columns, same types of words. It's just that I grouped them in four different columns. So just go through them quickly and see if this, consider them in your Christian walk. So in a matter of our Christian walk, what we're doing, what God, how God sees us, how we see God, what we know about the scriptures, any word in the list that you would want to claim for yourself, like you want to use. So we want to do that quickly. So if you see a word that you're inclined to like it, to want to appropriate it, then you can take it out of the list. And then as you're doing that, it will be so you have going through the list, self-absorbed, self-actualized, self-aggrandizing, self-centered, self-conceit, self-confident, self-sufficient, self-consumed, self-control, self-image, self-importance, selfish, self-interest, self-knowledge, self-love, self-reliance, self-seeking, self-denial, self-determination, self-devotion, self-directed, self-discovery, self-esteem, self-exaltation, self-fulfillment, self-government, selfless, self-deception, self-worth, self-defense, self-righteous, self-harm. Said to myself, like, self-gratification, self-help, self-inspired, self-discipline. Are you through? Okay, so you're going to use it as checking it yourself, but did anybody get 6 words? 6 words or more that you would want to use for yourself. Anybody got 6? Anybody got more than 6?
6.
You got 6? Okay. Anybody got less than 6? Okay. How many did you get? Sorry?
4.
Sandy, how many did you get?
1 mostly, but maybe 2.
Okay. And Stefan?
I got 5.
You got 5? Okay. Anybody want to share here? Anybody got? How many do you get? Oh, you still thinking? Okay. So, my goal for using is to bring your attention to what we're talking about today. How much of self do we want to carry with us in our Christian walk? How much of us? Because when we're talking about self, I'm drawing your attention to your personality, the totality of you, the nature that we have as men and women, not your new person, not the new man. So when we were born, we considered ourselves, oh, me. How much of that do we carry along in this Christian walk? Because Christ said something, and let's turn quickly to Matthew. It's not where I wanted to start, but let me use it for now. So Christ says, if anybody comes to me, what are you supposed to do? You have to deny yourself. I didn't put my scripture here, but I think it's Matthew 19 or 10. Let me quickly grab it here. Check 10 first. Read that. Okay, 16:24, thank you. So it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life, that is, in a sense, yourself, will lose it. But whoever loses the self for my sake will find it. For what profit is it for a man if he gains the whole world, in this case for himself, and loses his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So this is what Christ expects of us. So it means that there's something about the self that needs to go. But if we look in the world space where we have been called out of, and that will remind me of a phrase that my brother taught us some time ago, and if somebody makes you repeat things for a long time, you never forget it, right? So we are out of this world, but not, is that what you say? We're not off. We are in the world, but not of the world. Thank you. So we are here. So whilst we are in it, we see these words. So we are here, but how much of this are we off? How much of it can we take and grab? Because I am the examiner and I set the question, in my grading scheme, I thought only four words that I would encourage people to take from this list. Every other self word would be something you will hear in the world, but I would submit that we don't need to carry with us on our Christian walk, because it's not going to help us. So if you look at every column, the last word of every column is what I would recommend. Because we need self-control. Put brakes on the self. You need to really control the self. If you don't control the self, it gets out of hand. Self-denial. That's what we read, just read from Christ. We have to deny the self of its pleasures, the things that it's looking for, the places that they want to go. The places that the self want to go. Deny the self those things. Because if you allow the self to get everything that it wants, you're going to be in trouble. And then the next one is selfless. Let it be less of the self. Let the self diminish and get smaller and smaller. And the last one, which is almost like the first one, self-discipline. You need to put brakes and train the self in a manner that it will recognize that, hey, there are limits and I can't get out of hand. There are some words in the list that everybody, when you hear it, you say, no, I don't like it. For example, self-righteous. I'm not self-righteous. Nobody wants to be self-righteous. Some of them are so easy to throw away. Self-absorbed. Nobody wants to be say you are self-absorbed. It's because it's so negative. You're self-centered. Self-seeking. Self-conceit. Self-interest. Some of selfish. Self-importance. Those are things that you can easily throw away because we all kind of understand that these are not good. What about when we come to something like self-esteem? Because we are older. For the older ones, if we talk about self-esteem, we can look at it probably differently. But for the younger generation, they like it. Because it's been sold to them that they have to like it. Because if you don't have it, you don't have anything. So behind every problem that young people have is presumed to be self-esteem issue. So you have, oh, he has a low self-esteem. That's why he has this problem or that problem or the other problem. And if you want that person to be better, then you say you have to boost their self-esteem. If you do something to a child and somebody says, oh, but you this is very, it will impact their, it will give them low self-esteem, then it means you are such a wicked person that you're making a child feel less of themselves. Right? So some of one like that will be easy to sell to even the Christian community, that it's a good word. Self-love. It's easy to sell. Self-love. Because some people will quote you that even the Bible says, love others as yourself. And they misinterpret that to mean self-love. And self-confident. Wow, confidence. You got to be self-confident. Yeah, that's also easy to sell. Self-reliant. Especially in a community like, in a Canadian community where we tend to be, want to be very independent. Self-reliance. Like, you have to have all you need. Like, make sure you have your stuff. Not trying to get into people's places and say, when I had a neighbor, we used to live in Curtis, my next door neighbor had every tool in the world that you would need for anything. Boy, I didn't buy any tool. I use his tools because we're good. We're not fighting, and he's got it. Why do you have to buy them? I relied on him. I wasn't going to be self-reliant and buy the same stock of tools in my garage now. So we want to be self-reliant, and people would easily buy it because they will look a little bit beyond what you're trying to sell. So in effect, the title of the message is Dying to Self. Dying to self. And if you want to put it positively, so you can take it one of two ways, living above self. So you want to live above the self, or you want to die to the self. At the heart of this message today is how to deal with the self. And it's important that we in the Christian community get so grounded in how we deal with the self, because it's been promoted and it's gotten to the point where people see themselves as God. Because they're worshiping themselves. They're praising themselves. They're elevating themselves above even the Word of God. And so, there are some of these people doing what we are doing in the other space that they are also professing to believe in this book. But they are doing things that when you take cognizance of what they're doing and you examine it closely, you realize that it's about the self. This morning, I spoke to a gentleman in the United States that sent me a video. Get my phone there. So this gentleman sent me a video, and I make sure I play a bit of, just it's very short, play it for you, it's about just a minute. But the other thing that he told me, that he had a personal interaction with a very prominent man of God. And this man told the person I'm just speaking to this morning, he said, I'm the first billionaire preacher. I'm the first billionaire preacher. So he's raking all the money, so for himself. He wants to self-actualize. He wants to arrive. Have the planes. Have the sea boats and whatever he needs, whether good to go on land or air or whatever he wants to go, to have the best. He's self-centered. And so I find it very interesting that whilst we were on this subject, this friend sent me that video. And after he sent the video, we spoke on the phone as well. And the one that I want to play to you is not about that person, But he sent me a video about somebody else working in the general Christian space, making a statement. And that is what you get the big picture. That all these people, or a lot of, or most people in that Christian space, presuming or pretending to be doing the work of the God who has sent us, Yahweh. A lot of them are worshiping themselves. And this is not something new. Not new at all. Because let's open to Genesis 3. And whilst we are at Genesis 3 to look at the fall of mankind, what do we see? The Bible says, let me pick it from the very beginning. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which Yahweh, God, had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you should not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So now let's see how the woman is thinking. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, what does that remind us of? He saw that the tree was good for food. If we read 1 John, what is that? Anybody?
The lust of the eyes.
Yes. You got that. So he saw that the tree was good for food. This will be lust of the flesh. And then what else did she say? That it was pleasant to the eyes. Lust of the eyes. And then the last one, that the tree was desirable to make one wise. So now that's the pride of life. So the three big things that would get us. Because 1 John said that this world that we are in, the things that are in this world, that if we exhibit, would tell us that we are not of God, is that when we are full of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If these three things consume us, we would not be of God, but of the flesh. So this is where the woman saw these things, broadly speaking, and realized that, hey, I'm going to be a different person from today. So the self started kicking in. And then she lost it and ate the fruit, passed it on to her husband, and he also, obviously, we don't have that information, But he will also have rationalized, just like his wife did, or he may have been convinced by his wife that, you know what, this is what I saw, that it's going to make us look great, feel great, and be puffed up. And so both of them got into this trap. And of course, by extension, all of us carried with us this trap of the human nature, the fallen nature. And that is what Christ, in essence, died so that we would be turned into a new man and not after Adam. This is not something that stopped there. You can read far into the future after the fall of man and listen to some group of people talking about themselves. In Genesis 11, 3 and 4. And see the Tower of Babel. When the Tower of Babel was being constructed, and you see the rationale behind it, because verse 3, they said, I'm breaking into it, and they said to one another, go to, let us. So they're emphasizing themselves. They're emphasizing themselves. Let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And verse 4, and they said, go to, let us build for God. No, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto the heavens, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. All the emphasis, self. We want to make a name. If they said, brethren, please, let's build a house for God so that the glory of God would be seen. See how it would have changed? When David perceived, because he was living the reality. When David knew that he was living in a mansion, but the tabernacle of God was nothing to write home about, he had this intent and he said, please God, I want to build you a house. And God said, not a bad idea, but not you, because you're tainted. But when God said it will be somebody that is coming from you, your son after you, that will build me that house, David was so gracious to God that God has considered him even worthy that his descendant is going to be building a house to God's glory. You see the different kind of thinking. Two kinds of buildings, one for us, for a name, one for God to dwell in. And when God did not allow him, we know that David made preparations, put even resources by, so that Solomon could use those resources to build all for David? No. But to the glory of God. So self, just contrasted it here, but you see how self, it's so pervasive, right? Even from the pages of our existence. It went through, plagued men over and over and over and over and over, and here we are, until Christ comes to the picture to destroy the work of self and to give us the new man. But even after he's done all that work, man still pursuing self. Man is still pursuing self. And it's in business, religion, it's in school, it's in our social life. In fact, in the 90s, there was a project in the United States to vaccinate young people with a vaccine that will help them overcome things like teenage pregnancy, overcome things like drug abuse, overcome things like even welfare dependency. A vaccination. Looks like I'm dreaming, or you are dreaming. This is reality. And the reason you're not catching on to it is because there cannot be any vaccine for these evils apart from God reinventing the person. But they tried. Why? Because we want to do it to show that we can do it. The self. So, it was a true project. It was self-esteem project. In the 1990s. I can give you a name of the person who spearheaded it. I can show you the document that they produced for that project. But it failed. But when they were producing that document, they thought that self-esteem is like a vaccine. And it's not my invention of a word. That is what they thought. That self-esteem will be a social vaccine. That if you can get young people or people to have high self-esteem, the problems that I mentioned will not be in their lives. So, man has always been putting God aside and pursuing the self. It's ingrained in our society. One of the things that I hate with everything in me is to find a job. I hate finding a job. Because I have to sell myself. And I hate selling myself because I'm supposed to say things that everybody sees that I'm something. I'm somebody. I can do this. I can do that. I know this. Show off to the interview panel that you can do something. And if you can do that, it's going to stand between you and getting the job. So, we ingrain with this that you have to be self-confident, you have to be able to I mean, in a sense, try to be full of pride in order to succeed in this world. Right? So if you tell people what is true, they're looking at you, it's not embellished, it is flat. Oh, I can do this. I know how to do this. I've done it before. Yeah. Oh, we did a project that maximized profit in that company by 25% when I was probably nowhere near the team in the sense of doing something. I participated in something, but the 25% was not attributable to me. But I have to claim it to show you that that's what I did over there in order for you to look at me favorably. I have to boast. Point being that the society is full of self. And I always use this example in politics. It's not a popular one, but it's the best example. It's the same as the example that you find in Genesis 11. We have a system of government called democracy. And the whole world needs to understand that democracy is the best form of government. Maybe it's the best of the worst. What does democracy mean? This is people who understand democracy and people who propose democracy. Their definition is that it's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So it's all about us. So how can you use this system of government to promote God's business? It's not going to work because it's about you. And we know when politicians are vying for power, it's about them. They would tell us what we would vote for them. And be a very simple person, be a very honest person, and tell Canadians that you can do it without all that self stuff. You will not get a penny of a vote because you didn't tell us enough embellished truths or lies enough that people would vote for you. So this has consumed all of us to the point that it's entered here. And that's what I wanted to see if I could just play you. Possibly it's not going to work because I'm not online.
Did you want us to put the URL up on the computer on the big screen, Louis?
Just give me 1 second. No, it's not going to work. So this is somebody speaking about when you go to worship God, like we are here. And so when you come here, it's not about God. It's about yourself. Just like that. And you think that she is making sense. Because sometimes we rationalize for people. When we come here and say we're worshiping God, in Ghanaian terms, some people will ask you, do you cook for God? You say you're serving God. Do you cook for God? Do you go on errands for God? So how are you serving God? So they rationalize. It's because you're not doing it, and the benefit is eventually for you, So you're not here for God, you're here for yourself. But what they're telling you, if I got this person, is that put him aside. What we're doing here is for us. And if you would travel 1 hour from Toronto to come here for yourself, if it wasn't for God, why do I have to make this trip? Why do I have to make it? Because it's God's business that is causing us to do this. Why would we have met if it wasn't for God on a Saturday, on a sunny day? Why? We don't know the fun places around the Coates that we could go to on a Saturday afternoon, sunny? We don't. But we are here on account of what God said. So how can we interpret it in any other way and say we're here because of ourselves? Brethren, I won't bore you any more than to say, how do we bury this self? How do we bury it? How do we deal with it? How do we put brakes on it? How do we control this self? How do we deny this self? How do we discipline this self and make this self see that we have a God? And he has put boundaries for us. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, let it not be. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? How can the self live? This is me, I'm not reading. How can the self live when it's supposed to be dead? We are dead to sin. Our sinful nature is supposed to die. So how can we live any longer in that same self nature, self-serving, self-centered, self-seeking, selfish interest? Why can we live in it any longer? No, we can't. Verse 3. Do you not know that as many of us that were baptized or immersed into Jesus Christ were immersed into his death? So in baptism or in our immersion, this is how we deal with the self. True repentance and showing the repentance in being immersed in water to show what God has accomplished in you. That is how you begin to deal with the self. That's how it begins. That you realize that this self business is going to drive you to the pit of hell. and realizing that you want to live a new life. It causes you to turn, about turn, completely in the other good direction. So, verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him, that is Jesus Christ, by immersion into death. The burial, the immersion was into his death, so that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So the new life in Jesus Christ, after we are raised symbolically from our immersion into water and being raised, just like Christ was raised, into newness of life. And that new life, if is after the Christ kind, not the Adam kind, not the self kind. So the self went in dead and came out a new individual. The new life in Christ is not after the self and its motives. So once you get out of the water, self-absorbed is gone. Your self-image is gone. Your self-esteem is gone. Your self-love is gone. Self-help is gone. Self-righteous, gone. Because you are a new person and you're not intending to want to live according to the pride of life, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. Verse 5. For if we have been joined together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's the promise. That if only you did the work, show repentance, ask for forgiveness, and you went deep into the water in the likeness of his death, then you are assured that as you are raised and you come up, you're going to be in the likeness of his resurrection. The life is a new life, not death anymore. The death is gone with the self. And as I said in Toronto, if you haven't killed before, please be ready. One time, kill the self. Kill it. And that's the only murder that you can get away with. The only murder you can get away with. And you kill the self. Let the self die. And even when that self is dying, it's dying with the hope of coming out a better. Let me stop here, make this intervention. When you resurrect with Christ, it is not a better self. It is not a higher self. The self is dead. What you have is a new person. It's not the self getting better. Self-interest can never get better. Self-absorbed can never get better. You just got to get rid of it. Because the reason I say that is that there are a lot of published work going around. If you go to Indigo and Chapters and find a section that they call self-help titles. And just go there and browse what the titles are. You will find everything that we can do for ourselves, to help ourselves to live better, to do this, to overcome that. And even for those who will mention a God, you still realize from the pages that they're not really giving God any credit. It's all about you and what you need to do to better your life. So you can't put a plant of the self and water it, let it bloom, get flowers, looks nice, and say, oh, I got a new self. It's the old self that you just planted and made it look nice. You just embellished it, but you didn't allow it to die. But you would rather take the self like a seed, bury it, let the whole thing completely die. God. Whatever come out, even if it came out of that seed in this example, it's not the seed. This is a new plant. So you have to be coming off Christ, not off yourself. That is the message I want to leave with you. You're not coming off. Yourself didn't go in and got better. Yourself went in dead and came Christ-like. Because at the end of the day, when you allow Paul to speak to you, or if you ask Paul to tell you what this is about, Paul will tell you that now that I live, Galatians, and I didn't follow my script, so all over the place. Galatians 2. Read that, please.
2:20?
Yeah.
I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
So now that life, if Paul is talking to you, Paul is not going to say, now the life that I live, it's how I polished myself and got better now. I was drinking all the time, and I realized that drinking is not good for me. I went for AA lessons, and I realized that I can do this. Brethren, and for the last 5 years, I've never drank a thing. Well, you did well, but it was all you. What is the compelling force that you would say, I can't believe I live like this. I can't believe I was drinking my head off. But when I met Jesus Christ, and I knew that I can't live selfishly, that I have family, I have to think about them. And God forgave me all the sins and allowed me to live new. So it's no longer Louis that you knew, who was always falling off. But it's a new person. because I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. This is not to say specifically that interventions that help people to overcome things, that's not what I'm talking about. But you can mount your own situation and find your own solutions and do overcome a lot of things. That has nothing to do with God. And when you give in to God, and when He's now in the driver's seat, because if something is happening again, what will you fall on? Are you just going to pick your AA book and start reading? What did we learn the other time? Is that what you're going to fall on? So, if you're going to fall on God, if you're going to pray, if you're going to ask for counsel, if you're going to read the Word, then it's no longer you. Because you're not relying on yourself anymore. You're relying on the eternal, our God, that He is your sufficiency. And He is your confidence. He is your esteem. What God says you are, that's what you are. Not what you say you are. Because I can say anything about myself. That's self-esteem. The worth. How much price you put on yourself, that's your self-esteem. So, as a matter of fact, I don't know why anybody should have a low self-esteem. Because it's your price. So why don't you put a higher price on yourself if that's what we're going by? Because self-esteem is defined as the how a person see himself or herself to be worth. So it's not about me. I can see you as nothing. But what about you? Because it doesn't say how others see you. That's not self-esteem. Because otherwise it will be self. So others' esteem. It's not others' esteem, it's self-esteem. And that's how Carl Rogers, the man behind self-esteem in psychology, that's how he defined it. It's how much you think you are worth. But that's not important. I'm interested in how does God see me? How does the Creator see me? And if I go by what the Creator see me, I don't care what anybody thinks. That will be my God esteem, if you will, not self. Finishing off in Romans, six, knowing this, that our old man, that is the self, is crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be destroyed. Like we were talking about alcoholism. That body of sin will be destroyed. And from now on, we should serve sin no more. So when the body of sin is put, you're not going to serve sin anymore. You have a desire to mount on the self horse, because the self horse is now destroyed by way of being crucified with Christ. For he who died has been justified. If you die with Christ, you've been justified. You've been looked on, seen as if you've not sinned. Christ washed you, cleansed you, forgive you, atone, cover you in a manner that we don't see what was there anymore. It's not the covering that we see. So God covers you that we come new. We've been justified. We have been judged right with God. But if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. So if we truly went down, then we also know that when we come up, which is the life, then we're going to be living with Christ. And that is what Paul is saying, that the life that I live now is no longer I, not me. Because I went down, the self, I went down, died. And I came up with Christ. Knowing that when Christ was raised from the dead, he dies no more. So it is his victory. Death no longer has dominion over him. The selfishness is gone. No dominion, no power to control you anymore. If we will submit in the newness of the life in Christ. And let Christ rule, live in us. Become selfless, be self-controlled. For in that he died to sins once. But in that he lives to God. Likewise, count yourself also to be truly, not fake, truly, in fact, dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is not a wishy-washy feeling that I'm doing my best. Yes, you're doing your best, but you have to have the understanding that you truly died to sin and that you are alive to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Self-control comes in here. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. That's when you pick the self and say, hey, self, you're not going to raise your head again? Let me tell you, you are dead and dead for good. I see you trying to rise up. I've seen it go down because Christ lives now. So it will try to show some skirmishes. And then you got to let the self know, hey, I know where you belong. You're dead. I'm not afraid of you anymore. You're dead. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. The lust that we talk about. Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourself to God as one alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. So now you know where you're walking, you know how you're walking, you know the victory in which you are walking, you know who is living with you, you know what your help is. That is victory. That is the victory in which we walk. And that is where you nourish the new man that God has given you. So, brethren, let's look at the list. It's so long. There are several self words around. I just pick a few. But bottom line is, anytime you see a self word, think through it and say, is this self on my side or on the other side? Because there are so many self words out there. And see which self word you want to be in your toolbox. At least for today, by this list, I have recommended. And we know of the four that we recommended, Christ spoke about one, so we are safe with that, self-denial, and one is in your fruit, right? The fruit that you're going through. If you haven't come across it, you're going to come to it, self-control. So we are safe with that. And self-discipline is just like self-control, so we could be safe with that too. And as for selfless, I won't say anything about that. Because nobody would say it's not a good one. So, brethren, thank you very much for the opportunity being here and being with you once again. And I know that until December comes, I got two more trips to come here. And so, God willing, we're going to meet a couple more times before the end of the year. God be with you. Thank you.